Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for our sermon this morning is our gospel reading, which you just heard read. Well, they're at it again. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law are going to take another shot at him. They tried before. They tried to use Moses and the law against him. Once, when Jesus and his disciples were walking through the grain field on the Sabbath, his disciples started to pick some heads of grain and eat them. The Pharisees were all over Jesus. This was a travesty. How could he let his disciples do such a thing? The Pharisees were incensed. It was against the law. It was contrary to their understanding of the Sabbath. Yet Jesus, he cited the precedent of David and his men eating the showbread in the temple. And then, of all things, he pointed out that even the priests work on the Sabbath, offering the sacrifices of and for the people. The matter was over. The Pharisees went away frustrated. Later, they approached him at the synagogue. A man with a shriveled hand was there. They figured this was it. This was where they'd get him. Surely this prophet, this miracle worker, wasn't going to pass up an opportunity like this. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? They baited him. Can you do it? This wasn't a matter of life or death. Certainly it could wait. Could be put off to another day, a day less holy. What would he do? What would he do? Jesus looked to them and said, "Who among you, if one of your sheep fell into a pit, would not lift him out on the Sabbath? My sheep are certainly more valuable than those." And there, right before their eyes, on the Sabbath no less, he healed the man. That was it. The Pharisees had had it. So now they began to plot how they should kill Jesus. But there was a hitch. They couldn't do it. The Roman law didn't give the Jews the right to carry out a capital sentence. They'd have to find something else. A civil charge. A charge of subversion or treason. Yes. Hang him with the Roman law. So one day they came up to him. They buttered him up with all kinds of insincere praise and flattery. They applauded his impartiality, boasted of his integrity. They set the stage and asked the question, "Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" Jesus knew what they were up to. And he didn't give them the answer that they had expected, an answer that they wanted. It didn't help them. Give to Caesar what is Caesar's, to God what is God's. What was Rome going to do with that? They'd never help. They'd have to find something else. And in our text, they think they've got him. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law of Moses, we're commanded to stone such women. What do you say?" What do you say? Now what is he going to do? If he goes along with the stoning, he'll be guilty. Guilty of disregarding the Roman law. If he forbids the stoning, he'll be guilty of disregarding the law of Moses. The Pharisees, in their smugness, think they've got him. He can't win. No matter how he answers, he's going to be wrong in someone's eyes. Well, Jesus, he just bends down, writes in the dirt. They just kept on questioning him. They wouldn't let up. Well, what are you going to say? How are you going to answer? Give us an answer. Come on. We don't have all day. He straightened up, said to them, "If any of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw the stone at her." He didn't answer the question. But he did. He got his point across. They understood what he said. John makes it perfectly clear that that was the case. He tells us, "At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left and the woman standing there." Yes, we, like they, must walk away one by one. Though it's tempting at times to use the full weight of the law against those who are irritating. Though we may look to the law in its technical purity and selectively apply it to those who disagree, especially when we have our ulterior motives. Lex semper accusat. The law always accuses. Yes, it accuses the alligators and the troublemakers. But the weak and the timid as well. It charges the pietist and the pious alike. everyone. Yes, even those who hold or aspire to the office of the ministry. None of us, not a one, can keep the law. None of us has the possibility of fulfilling the law, and with the law, we're left alone. Alone to fend for ourselves. We're hopeless. We're dead. We only face condemnation. But by God's grace, we aren't alone. Through faith, when faced with the accusations of the law, we don't have to stand there alone, naked in its judgment. Our Lord is with us. When fearing the condemnation of the law, He reassures us that He willingly took our guilt, our punishment, our condemnation, as He suffered in our place, as our substitute. Calvary, He attained our forgiveness. Through His blood, shed on the rugged timbers of the cross, our debt has been paid. Through His sacrifice, peace has been attained. Yes, you are forgiven. You've been bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You're His. He put His name on you in baptism. He's called you by name. You're His. You now live in the glorious freedom of the gospel. Though the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh continue to war against us, though Satan may parade our sin before us, our confidence, our trust, our hope is in Christ. As St. Paul writes, "Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? Jesus Christ, who died. More than that, he was raised to life. He's at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Yes, our Lord is our advocate. Your advocate and mine before the throne. He pleads our cause. For our salvation is in and through Jesus Christ. We have our Lord's promise, our assurance, our peace. When troubled in conscience, the realization of our sins, we need not fear. Graciously hear the Lord speaking to us. Neither do I condemn you. Neither do I condemn you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.